For this virtual special edition on folklore, religion, and contemporary spirituality, edited by Marion Bowman, a range of articles has been selected which exemplify the complex interrelationships between folklore and religion, the study of folklore and the study of religion, and the importance of folklore in both the formation and understanding of certain aspects of contemporary spirituality. From these six articles, we get some flavor of the myriad nuances, multiple histories, and contextual detail that must be taken into account when trying to understand and analyze religion as it is lived. The reality and diversity of religion resides in the totality of all those views and practices of religion that exist among the people apart from and alongside the strictly theological and liturgical forms of the official religion, as Dan Yoda elegantly put it. However, too often popular or folk beliefs, customs, material culture, and practices outside a narrowly reified concept of official religion have been devalued or dismissed as quaint, mistaken, superstitious, or deviant, not simply by polemicists assuming right is on their side, but by scholars of religion. As Norman Primiano has commented, however, one of the hallmarks of the study of religion by folklorists has been their attempt to do justice to belief and lived experience. Particular aspects of folklore studies which complement the study of both traditional religion and contemporary alternative spirituality include the disinclination to privilege written over oral forms, the recognition that belief spills over into every aspect of behavior, and the appreciation of the dynamic nature of tradition, characterized by Henry Glassy as the creation of the future out of the past. Folklorists have long researched context where narratives and worldviews are articulated and rituals evolve outside formal structures, where material culture is valued as a means of expression and transmission, where myths are significant and the power of place is stressed. Historians, archaeologists, scholars of religion and other disciplines have increasingly realized that folklore and cultural tradition are necessary ingredients in comprehending the big picture in a variety of contexts. Historian Ronald Hutton's article, Modern Pagan Festivals, A Study in the Nature of Tradition, traces the 20th century development of the eight festivals of a modern ritual calendar: midsummer and midwinter solstices, spring and autumn equinoxes, and four quarter days. Widely believed by many contemporary Druids, Wiccans, and pagans of various types to be ancient and or Celtic. Highlighting the role of folklore, and indeed folklorists in this process, Hutton usefully outlines key developments in contemporary paganism and helps to set the ritual scene for some of the other articles in this collection. The Wheel of the Year is now a reality in contemporary practice, regardless of its origins. Above all, however, Hutton's article is an exploration of tradition and different assumptions about and definitions of that term. As he points out, in 1893, Joseph Jacobs suggested in Folklore, the earlier title of Folklore, that understanding how a particular tradition originated, developed, and disseminated should be a prime objective for folklorists, while later folklorists, contrary to popular usage, have stressed that tradition is dynamic, creative, ever-changing. Hutton contends that understanding the nature of tradition in modern society, in this case through the case study of modern pagan festivals, has implications for a broader appreciation of the nature of modernity and its relationship with older ideas and customs, and of the changing place of religion in Western culture. Writing on folklore and popular religion in Britain during the Middle Ages, Carl Watkins highlights the need to consider religious culture as an organic whole, and the importance of contextualization. Pointing to the pitfalls of fencing off folklore as a special, separate object of study, he sees the case studies he presents a spectrum of beliefs and behaviors that are highly context-sensitive, rather than a series of easily labeled cultural compartments. Watkins also cautions that we need to pay attention to the cultural formation of authors as well as of the community described. This advice is relevant not only for accounts of belief, narrative, and practice in the Middle Ages, as Torun Selberg shows in her study of how new and alternative religiosity is narrated in Norway by outsiders and insiders. She analyzes how terms such as superstition and tradition are used in discourse to dismiss or authenticate new trends, depending on the spiritual and cultural orientations of commentators and practitioners. Selberg points to the ambiguous and multivocal nature of language used in relation to the past, superstition, and tradition, in attacks on and the defense of religious multiplicity in contemporary Norway. But she situates this phenomenon in a much broader historical context. Three of the articles in this virtual special edition relate to significant places: Iona, Glastonbury, and a variety of archaeological sites that have become sacred sites for contemporary pagans. The ways in which people narrate places, particularly perceptions of their past and their present significance, have a huge impact upon behavior at and expectations of such sites. Rosemary Power's article focuses on the island of Iona, now a place of iconic significance for a wide spectrum of people with interests in contemporary Celtic spirituality, which encompasses Christianity, Druidry, and various forms of non-aligned spirituality. Power traces the intriguing story of Iona's attractions for those involved in the late 19th, early 20th century Celtic revival, the important role of Church of Scotland minister and advocate of social justice George MacLeod, who founded the Iona community in 1938, and the ways in which MacLeod and the Iona community creatively used myth, ritual, material culture, innovative liturgy, music, and imagination to self-consciously Celticize. To some extent, this has had unintended consequences, for a great variety of people now travel to Iona with expectations of encountering ancient and authentic Celtic religiosity. Glastonbury's Holy Thorn ceremony provides an example of how calendar custom can be used polemically in a religiously contested environment. The ceremony draws upon the myth that Joseph of Arimathea brought Christianity to Glastonbury shortly after the resurrection of Christ, making Glastonbury the cradle of English Christianity, one proof being the Glastonbury thorn, which flowers twice a year, in spring and around Christmas. The custom of sending sprigs of the Christmas flowering thorn to the monarch was created in 1929 by Glastonbury's Anglican vicar, Lionel Smithet Lewis, a passionate champion of Glastonbury's vernacular Christian legends, in contrast to his contemporary, the Dean of Wells, who was dismissive of the stories, demonstrating that official and unofficial religion are not neat compartments. The article demonstrates how the tradition, regarded popularly as ancient and immutable, has changed over the years, and how it has, to some extent, taken on new meaning in the context of Glastonbury's increasing spiritual pluralism. But it has nevertheless succeeded in helping to perpetuate the Joseph of Arimathea legend in Glastonbury. Robert Wallace and Jenny Blaine point to the complexity and diversity of pagan understandings of and interactions with archaeological sites such as Avebury and Stonehenge, both in relation to modern pagan adaptations of what are perceived to be folkloric traditions, and the development of new folklores of pagan sacred sites. They outline ways in which varied pagan reinterpretations of archaeological site, conceptions of appropriate ritual activity, and seasonal celebratory behaviors have an impact upon the sites themselves, and can involve negotiations and on occasion conflict with custodians and other users of the sites. What emerges strongly in this restoring or restoring of such sites as active ritual milieus with contemporary spiritual significance? We are confident that you will find this virtual special edition on folklore, religion, and contemporary spirituality stimulating and valuable in its demonstration of the vital, integrated role of folklore in religion and contemporary spirituality in a variety of contexts. Two of the articles selected for this virtual edition are from Folklore, Volume 114, Number 3, 2003, the focus of which was religion. So if you have enjoyed this selection, you might wish to look at other papers in that volume. We also provide a list of suggested further reading from the Folklore Archive, which includes multidisciplinary articles on a range of topics, historical periods, and geographical areas, Scandinavia, Hungary, and Canada, for example, and modes of transmission of folklore in relation to religion. There is much to explore in the fascinating territory of folklore, religion, and contemporary spirituality.